This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to another Joy 94.9 podcast.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the Different Strokes Effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Because it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
That was Laura Marling, Tap at My Window. You're listening to Different Strokes here on Joy 94.9. It's time for a shoe swap.
Different Strokes shoe swap.
This way you wanna talk this way. Walk this way you wanna talk this way. Walk this way you wanna talk this way. Walk this way you wanna talk this way.
Come on, Dave. These high heels are so hard to walk in. I don't want to swap shoes anymore. Dave, I fancy myself the sports aficionado. I do like to follow the sports, though admittedly I'm not big on summer sports, and I did recently have to do some sports reporting. It didn't work out so well because I didn't really care about cricket or tennis or any of that. So I'm going to be very interested to see what you've managed to find as the up points about being a sports journalist.
I'm starting to think the more I look into sports and my sort of natural fascination with racket sports, I'm starting to kind of attribute that back to my ethnicity.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, Asians, we have a thing for racket sports.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like tennis.
Badminton,
mm-hmm. Table tennis, ping pong, you know, like racket sports is like an Asian thing. We totally get it when we have to use a utensil like that to whack a ball. It's inherent for us.
I love the whacking action that you just did. I know it doesn't work for radio, but God, it was funny.
But no, it didn't look too suspicious, but it was a whacking, sign. But, you know, I've always, if I had to pick a sport in phys ed, you know, if we had to do a sport, I would always pray to God that was badminton. And obviously the majority of the boys in, you know, the, you know, sports classes would say, no, that sucks. Let's play AFL or indoor soccer. But, you know, if I had to follow a particular sport on TV as well, I would pick the tennis, which is very convenient because it is, after all, tennis season.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking day three of the Australian Open here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you mentioned before that you had to cover some sports. The only time, I thought I should share this as well, the only time I've ever had to come close to encountering sports journalism was when I was actually doing my internship at the Herald Sun, Herald Weekly Times. And day one, instead of doing news, like the newsroom, they chucked me with the sports journos. And talk about fish out of water. I was just there. I was just like, I didn't even know that sports journalists have to wear like a business shirt and a tie and all that. I'm like, why are you looking so formal? You know, the people you're interviewing are in like, I don't know.
Athletic wear.
Yeah, polyester.
Mm-hmm.
So why come in lilac? And I don't know. So that was an interesting moment. And we went to Windy Hills.
It's Windy Hill. There's one hill.
So it's Windy Hill.
It's really offensive for you to say that because I'm an Essendon supporter and I care about Windy Hill.
Okay, I think the football player that we interviewed, that we went for the press conference to cover anyway, was Bombers.
yes, he would have played for the Bombers, yes.
Yes, might have been Matthew Lloyd.
The captain.
Might have been, because why would you pick like a rookie to do a press conference? It has to be Matthew Lloyd, right?
Yeah.
So I only remember Matthew. Look, this was how much I didn't really have an interest in it. Like I was just pretty much dragged along and I was sort of trailing behind, listening to Beyonce on my iPod going, oh my God, I just wish this was over. But, you know, that was as close as I ever got to sports journalism. And I thought to myself, Dave, this is really, really out of your periphery. Now, the only way that sports would ever enter my periphery, of course, would be if the players themselves were elevated to pop culture status.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking people like Beckham Anna Kournikova, Michael Jordan, you know, they're the ones with, like, you know, pop culture appeal, and they've crossed over and completely sold out.
Okay.
But the thing about being a sports journalist now, I realize, is that you really have to be ahead with the game. You know, you got to be down with it. Like, if it is, you know, whatever season it is, you have to be ready to report it, whether it's AFL, NRL, cricket, soccer, golf, whatever. So being tennis season and me being Asian and loving the racket sports, I knew that this was the time for me to get into it. But I should also mention, Jay, the only way I've managed to do this whole week of research on tennis and Australian Open, the only way I've gotten through it is by assimilating these tennis players to pop stars in my head.
Okay.
So I'm bringing a little bit of a David Lim twist to, you know, this Australian Open report.
And you've got that there?
Yeah.
I look forward to it.
No, but I just, pop music and this pop, you know, pop stars kind of culture is so within my every fiber that, you know, if I would meet someone and it would tell me their life story, I'd be like, oh my God, that is so Amy Winehouse. You a crackhead too. So I see pop stars in everyone. So I'm hoping that when I'm going through these tennis plays, I would, you know, be able to find a pop star equivalent to understand.
Okay.
Now, I was reading through the Australian Open website, and, you know, this year, of course, whether you know it or not, is the big comeback for Elena Dokic.
Mm-hmm.
Did I even say her name right?
Elena
Dokic, yeah. Or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I started to think of her big comeback, and, you know, she was once upon a time, bear in mind, Jade, she was once upon a time world number 4.
Mm-hmm.
And she had, like, a 3-year absence, dropped to, like, number 10,000. I didn't even know that was possible.
Mm-hmm.
Who in the pop world will be ranked at number 10,000? Monique? I don't know, Mary, maybe? You know, like, that low, because she just absolutely stopped playing for 3 years. So 2009 was meant to be her big comeback. And I thought, who in the pop world could possibly rival that? Perhaps Brandy.
Uh-huh.
Now, you know, Brandy was, like, big in the 90s as well. She she had it all going on for her.
She had a TV show, right?
She had a TV
Moesha.
Show. Moesha, that's right. But Elena Dokic, I don't think she had a TV show. But the thing that both Brandy and Elena Dokic do share is, I think they have that, you know, the whole mantra of a teen star with a controlling parent thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the famous spat, you know, with Demir Dokic and all that, kind of always causing controversy. Well, apparently back in the 90s as well, I only know this because I've been researching Brandy simultaneously in the other window. Back in the 90s, there was a lot of controversy when Brandy started getting dehydrated and, you know, she was looking a bit thin and, you know, the press started writing stuff that her mother was, you know, a typical kind of child stage mother, you know, really controlling and stuff. So I've done a very loose correlation between the two, but I think you might like this next one, because our dear, you know, tennis legend Leighton Hewitt, who, you know, was making his big return from having this hip reconstruction surgery or something like that from a few months ago. So he's come back to play yesterday. He got beaten, yes, but he's still made a comeback. And I've drawn a correlation between Leighton Hewitt and Charlotte Church.
Okay.
It's kind of wrong and weird, but think about it, Jade. Both of them peaked at a young age. He was the youngest male tennis star to, I don't know, win like an Open or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she was the darling of opera back in her younger days.
Mm-hmm.
They both have some sort of behavioral issues. Let's just put it like that.
Yeah.
She's, you know, constantly running to the press and, you know, slagging off every other, you know, pop star out there trying to earn an honest living, like girls allowed. And he's just, you know, scary. So, and, you know, bear in mind that they were good once upon a time, but they have kind of fallen off the bandwagon, but they're still trying to, you know, return to prominence.
Okay.
And for those of you out there that, you know, is kind of thinking, well, Leighton Hewitt made a, you know, return to the courts. What is Charlotte Church doing?
Mm-hmm.
She actually had a TV show.
Oh, she did?
Yeah. Sad, isn't it? But no, she did. So that was my little correlation between the two. And finally, the gorgeous, gorgeous Anna Ivanovic. She's just, Anna Ivanovic is so gorgeous. Have you seen photos of her? She's like one of the most photographed female tennis players now.
Oh, okay.
She's absolutely strikingly beautiful. I think she's ranked like number, you know, she's ranked fifth in the world maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've likened her to our dear pop princess Delta Goodrum.
Okay.
Simply because they're both gorgeous and they're talented. You know, she's not like Anna Kournikova who just looks and absolutely no substance. I can't believe I'm diving into tennis lexicon. This is so scary.
Who would the Anna Kournikova of the pop world be?
I don't know. Who is all looks but no talent? There's so many. Say Holly Valance. I hope her parents aren't listening.
Yeah.
But hey, I got her first two albums, so I supported your daughter. Okay, you know, and you know, Anna Ivanovich is, you know, very known for, you know, her very tough upbringing when she was younger. You know, she came from a very poor background, and Delta obviously had the famous fight with cancer. So they both went through hardship in life, but they came out just stronger, absolutely gorgeous and whatnot. So, you know, I think that that's a fair enough kind of pairing. So, that's all I have to say about the Australian Open. I really didn't want to pair them up with any more pop stars because I was just finding the, I don't know, I just finding the correlation a bit stretched.
It was a bit scary.
It was very much a little bit scary. But in the meantime, coming up next, Jade, you're going corporate, aren't you?
I am going corporate. I'm going to try and not rant.
How can you? No, it's great to go corporate, though. I worked in a corporate kind of atmosphere, so I'll be looking forward to your report.
Oh, okay.
You're listening to Shoe Swap on Different Strokes.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.